Well, good morning and truly happy Mother's Day to all of you moms who are with us this morning. We are delighted that the Lord has called you to be with us. I've thought much of my own mom this morning already and certainly of my wife. My mom taught me early on that a woman can hear a lot from a very long distance. She said that was true of mothers, but soon I realized that it wasn't true just of mothers, but really of any woman. And the way I discovered this was even years before I was married. I was walking through a Dillard's with my very best friend, Steve McConaughey. And I said, "Steve, watch this." It was the Saturday after Mother's Day. We were in the women's section where they sell makeup and perfume. And on this Saturday after Mother's Day, I simply asked Steve this question. "Steve, isn't Mother's Day tomorrow?" Women came from every department with passion to inform us that it was actually last Sunday. And then eager to sell us something to bring remedy to that broken relationship they assumed. I said, "I'm just kidding. I got my mom a card from 7-Eleven on Mother's Day." You know, as we look at the parable of the sower this morning, the primary issue is hearing. It's hearing and seeing. I'm going to ask you to stand as I read Matthew 13, but I'm going to start in verse 16 as Jesus explains the parable. So if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. Beginning in verse 16, Jesus said the following, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Father, we would ask this morning that you would do a work through your Holy Spirit. Indeed, one of his purposes is to persuade us of this truth. God, I ask that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning, that it would fall on good soil, and that that soil which is not good, even this day, would be recognized, and work would begin, the toiling would take place, and that all who are here today might walk out confident that they are of good soil, confident that Jesus Christ, the first fruits, is the one to whom is bearing fruit in their life. God, would you break through to all of us that our hearts might be this way, that they might be soft and passionate, not hard and eager to grow. We ask, Lord Jesus, for this blessing, and it's in your name that we ask. Amen. Jesus, at the very end of this parable, in verse 9 says, "He who has ears, let him hear." The nearly 30 times he speaks of hearing and seeing in this parable. This is what it's primarily about. Many of us do not really hear and do not really see what the word of God is about. When I was in high school, one of my very best friends was a young man by the name of Billy Ford. Billy and I played wide receiver. We rotated in and out of the huddle, carrying in the plays. But the one difference, or two differences between us was this. He was much better than I was, but he was deaf. Billy could hear nothing. He could feel certain vibrations, but he could hear absolutely nothing. He made a lot of noise. His laughter is one that I will never forget. It would often come at inappropriate times, which was fun for everyone. And sometimes I would cause Billy to laugh at inappropriate times, such as when we were swimming together on the swim team. I was not very good at swimming, but I was rehabilitating an injury. And there at the pool, as the diving was taking place, I made Billy laugh, Billy's laugh, just as the opponent's diver went to the ledge. Billy and I were scolded for that moment, but it was a great joy. But probably my favorite moment with Billy was riding in the car as Billy would drive. Billy drove a mid-70s Delta 88, truly a land yacht that was bigger than any car I'd ever seen. He constantly kept his stereo cranked as loud as it could go. I'm not sure why, but he did. And I would ride with Billy, and we'd have fun cruising through the streets of my hometown, Bethany, Oklahoma. And then this one time, I heard a siren. And I looked behind, and truly Billy was being followed by a police. Code 3, lights and sirens are going. But Billy couldn't hear it. I thought, how long would it take before we could end up on Cops in a high-speed pursuit? We drove for a little bit, and finally I tapped Billy on the shoulder and said, Billy, you need to pull over. There's a cop behind us. He taught me a little bit of sign language, but mostly he could read lips, and he pulled over. And I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to see how the officer would address him when he couldn't hear a word he was saying. So instead of explaining right away that he was deaf, I simply let the officer grow in frustration. Now that's wicked and evil, and that's why you need to pray for my mom, because that's the kind of child I was. Billy had a hearing issue. Physically, he could not hear. But he also represents beautifully this parable. Because Billy's hearing problem wasn't just physical, it was also spiritual. Just before high school, I had become a Christian. And I was truly transformed by the gospel. It had taken root deep in my heart, and I wanted to see so many in my school saved. Billy was one of them. Billy would frequently go with me to the Young Life meetings, and then a few weeks into it, he actually prayed to profess faith in Jesus Christ. It was amazing, but it wasn't long. It wasn't long before the noise of the world, the noise of the popular crowd in our school, began to choke out any growth that was in Billy's life. And Billy wandered away, first from our friendship, and then from Christ. Years later, I would discover that Billy was in prison. His life on the wide road had really gone towards destruction. Many would have asked in those early years, was he saved truly? Or was he like one of these fruits in the hard soil? My answer was, how can I know? I can't judge a man's heart and soul. I can only tell you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God speaks of a good soil, a soil that bears fruit. Many of you come today knowing someone whom is not living a Christian life that's bearing fruit. And you wonder, it might be your own child. Even on this Mother's Day, you're sad because you don't see your child's faith bearing much fruit. And you wonder, truly, were they ever saved? Are they in some kind of pattern of just being lost and they'll return? Or were they ever truly converted by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Last week, I shared with you that it should be the desire of every Christian that we should bear fruit. Jesus said as he was preaching in the Gospel of John 15, it is to my Father's joy and glory that you bear much fruit, so proving to be my disciples. How is it that we prove that we're followers of Jesus Christ? It's not simply giving a date of which we prayed a simple prayer. It's that there's fruit that's growing in our life. Anytime someone asks me to share, if they can share their testimony, I say, start in the present. What's God doing now? You don't have to go back 20 years or 10 years or 10 months. What's he doing now? Is there evidence of his work in your life now? And if you truly are a believer, then there is. There's work because you're in good soil. What I want to do this morning and next week is talk about the good soil. What is it that are the ingredients of good soil? There's 7 that I want to identify. I'm going to do 3 or 4 today, followed with some application, and then finish those up next week. The first thing I want you to note in these 7 signs of good soil is this, that good soil has Holy Spirit persuasion. I want you to remember these, write these down if you must, but good soil has Holy Spirit persuasion. There's no one who is bearing fruit. There's no one who is a follower of Jesus Christ. There's no one who trusts in God's word who has not first had the Holy Spirit's movement in their life. We only confess faith in Christ because the Holy Spirit has moved in us, opening our eyes to see that this truly is the very word of God. No one who professes faith in Jesus Christ is persuaded to it any other way. It's God's Spirit's work. He takes your eyes and opens them. He takes your ears and opens them. He takes your heart and makes it soft, that finally you might say, "This indeed is the word of God. I believe it. I believe," as Paul said, "all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." I believe it. It's God's word. But you can't. You can't see that unless you're in good soil. And you're in good soil because the Holy Spirit has persuaded you. He's enabled you, as our confession says, even this morning, the way we confessed it. The second thing is this: good soil has repentance unto life. It's Holy Spirit persuasion that leads to repentance unto life. Now remember, repentance simply means that you're moving in one direction and suddenly, persuaded by the Spirit, you see your sin and you turn and you move a different direction. Now this Holy Spirit persuasion that leads to repentance unto life is first initial. There's an initial moment when you realized, "I'm a sinner. I am. I'm separated from God. I'm in deep need of His perfect blood and righteousness to cover me." And so there's an initial repentance where you turn towards God. But it's followed by a continual repentance. This is the sign of good soil, that as you grow in your understanding of God's word, you continue to repent. You mourn over your sin. You see it as you study God's word, and it causes you to mourn, to weep. Many have had what looks like an initial repentance, but as they continue, the continual repentance is gone. The third sign of a good soil is a growing hunger for God's word. Hunger. We know it. We know what it means. We experience it every day. Truly good soil hungers for more and more and more of God's word. The psalmist, Psalm 119, if you're struggling with the word of God right now, then just spend time this week in Psalm 119 and listen to how the psalmist speaks of the word. In one of the beautiful verses, he says, "My soul pants for your word." Are you panting for God's word? Literally, are you panting like a thirsty athlete longing for something to refresh his body? Are you thirsting, hungering, panting for God's word? Many, many years ago, a missionary to Papua New Guinea had spent her entire life, her name's Marilyn Laszlo, seeking to understand that language. As she sought to learn their language, she also had to put their language in written form because it had never been done. So she spent her life learning the language. Then putting it in a way in which people could read it. Then she had it translated, or the word of God translated into their language. Can you imagine, mothers, if your child came to you and said, "This is the way I want to spend my life"? Wow, what an impact. This was her daughter's desire. Why? Because at some point, the Holy Spirit had persuaded her. She had an initial repentance followed by continual repentance. And now, with this hunger for God's word, she wanted to make it known. And so she did. The Bibles were translated into this language where these villagers could read it. And as it was coming up the river, the villagers gathered on the sides of the river and began to speak and chant in their native tongue, "Here comes the word of God. Here comes the word of God. Here comes the word of God." This morning, did you come in with that expectation? Did you come in expecting that from this pulpit you were going to hear the word of God? As I said last week, too many churches are focused on the personality and gifts of the preacher or on the worship service, but not enough on the hearers. What if you begin to describe our church this way? We really by God's grace, hear and know and live the Word of God, that would be incredible. Incredible. Pray it happens. That we're like those villagers. Here comes the Word of God. That there's a passion that's boiling inside you for God's true Word. The fourth sign of good soil is application. This is very important for us. Those who are in the good soil don't simply give a callous or cultural nod to the truth of the gospel. They don't simply nod amen to the truth that they hear preached each Sunday. They walk away expecting to be transformed. They walk away expecting to see something in their life that will be different. It may only be in the way they fight the battle in this habitual sin, but they walk away expecting to be different. That's a sign of a good heart. Jonathan Edwards, in speaking about religious affections, said this: "The kind of religion that God requires and will accept does not consist in weak, dull, and lifeless woodings. Those weak inclinations that lack convictions, that raise us but a little above indifference. God in His Word greatly insists that we be in good earnest, fervent in spirit, and that our hearts be engaged vigorously in our religion." The soils is about our hearts. And one heart is good. It's good because God has made it good. And these are the signs of the soil. He goes on, looking at the verse in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? To fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Listen, this fervent, vigorous engagement of the heart is the fruit of a real circumcision of the heart that alone has the promise of life. Too often in a community, in a culture like ours, Dallas, kind of the epicenter of the Bible Belt, we have misunderstood this parable, thinking that Jesus doesn't require as much as Jesus requires. God desires for His people to bear much fruit, not to simply buy into a false gospel called the lukewarm Christian. Those terms don't even go together. Jesus died that we might be transformed, that we might be changed, that we might be made different. If you've not been made different, if you're not regularly applying the preaching of God's Word to your life, then don't assume you're in good soil. If you are, then celebrate. Celebrate like a man who's deaf who now can hear, like a man who's blind who now can see. Celebrate because He's opened your eyes that you might see Him. Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes," He says to the apostles, "for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Those who are in good soil have Holy Spirit persuasion. Those who are in good soil have repentance unto life. Those who are in good soil, they have passion and hunger for God's Word. And those who are in good soil, they're applying it regularly. And the five statements of identity that I shared with you back in January, our second one says this: that we long to know and live the Word of God. Simply knowing the Word isn't enough. That's the head knowledge. Simply having head and heart knowledge actually isn't enough either. It's a better connection, but there's something else. It's when it moves from the head to the heart and exits through our hands and feet that we know we are in good soil because we see fruit that's being born. Time for a little show and tell. In my hand is the greatest gift I was ever given. This is it. June 23rd, 1982, $12.95 at the Young Life bookstore at Castaway Club in Minnesota. 15 minutes after I prayed the sinner's prayer, my Young Life leader bought me this Bible. He wrote the following: "Mark, this begins the rest of your life with Christ as the center. God bless you as you study and learn to be God's man. In Christ, your bud, Tom Miller. Never have I devoured a Bible like I devoured this one. I had no fear. I'd never memorized a verse in the Bible. If you turn to page 1240 in this, you'll see the very first verse I ever highlighted. He taught me to highlight the verses I memorized, and he made me memorize scripture. Why? It's a sign of good soil. And the verse is this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You've been transformed. You've been changed because the one true living God has come to die that you might have life. And you, Mark, will be different because of it. Because the soil that's good bears fruit. It's a transformed life. This Bible is in pieces. Look at it. There's nothing left in terms of the binding. It's absolutely beautiful and wonderful. It makes me look really holy. I lost it. I lost this Bible. I couldn't remember where, but I really didn't care because I got a new study Bible. And I began to read that one. But 2 years ago, 1 year after my father died, I was cleaning out his barn. And I found this 20 years after I lost it. Here comes the Word of God. The good soil produces fruit. Some of you today don't have that passion and zeal for God's word. Maybe you once did, and you wonder whether or not you're in good soil. Good. I'm glad you're wondering. Don't wonder alone. Wonder with the word of God. Others of you have never believed it's the word of God. Good. Confess that. Now, figure out why you don't believe it's the word of God. Do it with the word of God, though. Just don't deny it because you think you want to. Pursue it. It's worth pursuing. Many of you this day, I believe, are in good soil. Celebrate. Walk out of here celebrating that you have had your eyes open, that you might see, that you might just acknowledge what he has done so that you could have this passion for his word. But there's none of us in here. None of us. And I really want those who think they're in good soil and who never doubted it, I really want you to understand that none of us love his word enough. None of us are as passionate about his word as we could be. So we continue to ask him for that overwhelming sense of thirst and hunger, that we would be like those villagers. Here comes the word of God. Because it's true. It's the gospel. My 20th year reunion took place just a few years ago. The first gathering was at Ripper Park, a park where I cruised often with Billy Ford. The third person I saw at my 20-year reunion was Billy Ford. I hadn't seen him since 1985. Billy walked up to me and handed me a note. I opened it. I looked at it. I looked at him. I looked at it. I looked at him. And then my eyes began to fill with tears. Paraphrasing, Mark, I am now a follower of Jesus Christ. I discovered God's love for me while I was in prison through a prison ministry. I now walk with Jesus Christ. Quickly, I moved to the side to talk to Billy. My first question was, do you still have the Delta 88? Not really. Billy, tell me about your faith. And he did. But what I wanted to know was, when did he think he became a Christian? It wasn't in high school. He said that wasn't real. It wasn't even barely real. He just simply did that to make me happy. But my voice wasn't loud enough or cool enough in high school, and others were. But in prison, the Holy Spirit persuaded and enabled him to embrace Jesus, and he did. And he's a follower of Christ. You cannot hear the gospel as a true believer of what Jesus did and simply be indifferent. You cry out, hallelujah, what a Savior who would save someone like me and allow me to have an initial repentance followed by a continual repentance. And his mercies promised are made new each morning. If your heart has not been moved by such news, then be honest. You're probably not of good soil. Repent and ask God to make you that person. Let's pray. Jesus, what a Savior. What a Savior that you would call us to be your own, that you would toil our hearts in such a way that there's even grace enough for good soil. None of us deserve that, Lord, but you have blessed us in such a way. God, keep our eyes lifted towards heaven. Stir in us this same type of passion, that by your mercy and grace, we may just dive into your word, longing to be transformed because of what you and only you can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.